Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Bayer, we had the pleasure of speaking with Alicia Morgans, MD, MPH, and Neil Shore, MD, FACS, about the FDA approval of darolutamide plus androgen deprivation therapy for patients with metastatic castration-sensitive prostate cancer. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Morgan and Shore discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy, safety, and quality of life data from the pivotal Phase 3 ARANOTE trial, and how this regulatory decision both opens doors for the treatment of more patients and raises questions about the optimal role of darolutamide in the management of this disease. Thank you so much, Dr. Shore and Dr. Morgans, for taking the time to speak with us today about the FDA approval of darolutamide for patients with metastatic castration-sensitive prostate cancer. So just to start off, overall, what is the significance of this approval?
From a medical oncologist perspective, I think that one of the best things about this approval is that we already have been using darolutamide to treat patients with metastatic castrate-sensitive prostate cancer, but we have really, in most cases, been trying to do that per label, which was to use it with ADT and docetaxel chemotherapy, because that's really, you know, the setting that it had been studied and the setting for which the approval was made. But with this new approval, we don't necessarily have to use chemotherapy. And so for so many patients, it's really offering an opportunity to get an active agent and to change the trajectory of their disease, help them live longer, help them maintain their quality of life, and not have to use chemotherapy if that's either not something that's suitable for them or else not really recommended given their cancer status.
I 100% agree with Alicia. Look, it expands the proverbial toolbox. And now we have more choices for patients. And I think choices are always great. Alicia, you know, talks about the very important Arisen's triplet trial that was developed way before where most of the doublet ARPI ADT trials had completed. And darolutamide ADT docetaxel bested ADT docetaxel. But there wasn't an ADT darolutamide arm. And so now, like so many of the other MHSPC trials, low volume, high volume, where we look at ADT and an ARPI or an androgen biosynthesis inhibitor like abiraterone acetate with prednisone or apalutamide or enzalutamide, we now see another important global phase 3 trial demonstrating the value proposition of ADT ARPI, and in this case, in ARANOTE, it's darolutamide. And I think Alicia and I have spent a lot of time, you know, really promoting the importance of intensification for these patients so that they're most should not be getting monotherapy ADT.
Diving into some of the trial findings here, can you briefly describe the design of ARANOTE?
I had the good fortune to be on the steering committee. You know, interestingly, this was a study that was conducted outside the United States, and largely because there was had to do with, we had all these other already approved ARPIs, as I just mentioned, you know, abiraterone from, you know, the Latitude and Stampede studies for abiraterone, Titan for ADT and apalutamide, and Arches and Enzimet for ADT and enzalutamide. So had the good fortune to be on the steering committee, but we weren't a trial site. And what we did was it was largely conducted, you know, during COVID. And we basically had patients with low and high volume metastatic castration-sensitive prostate cancer, de novo and recurrent. And the primary endpoint of the trial was radiographic progression-free survival. Multiple typical secondary endpoints, important secondary endpoints, time to pain progression, time to development of castration-resistant disease, PSA progression, and many really important health-related quality of life determinants, which Dr. Morgans gave a wonderful presentation on this at ASCO. We looked at PSA nadirs and we looked at that with routine PSAs and ultra low PSAs. And this was a successful study, and it was first presented by Fred Saad at ESMO in 2024, that the publication was in JCO and is now incorporated into the guidelines and has now been stated it's been approved in the label expansion by the FDA.
Yeah, and it does look like they actually did a 2-to-1 randomization, I think really to give more patients access to this ARPI, because I think one of the important things that is notable here is this is an ex-US study. As Neil said, ADT alone is really not the standard of care here in the United States anymore. And so in order to increase access for everybody, the study was actually done in settings outside of the US where patients did not have any access to an ARPI in that hormone-sensitive or castrate-sensitive metastatic setting. And so I guess also then the steering committee, I'm sure, said, hey, we want to give as many patients access to this as possible, 2-to-1 randomization in order to run the study.
Now, incidentally, we're doing a study in the United States called the ARISEC trial that I'm proud to be the co-PI on it with Raina McKay. And we have 200 patients, open label study. It's completely accrued. Our control arm is the monotherapy ADT arm from the CHARTED trial, which is what's somewhat called the methodology for that is known as a MAIC, an M-A-I-C, or match adjusted independent comparison. And it's pretty cool because the FDA signed off on that. Now, we already see the benefits of ARANOTE. I think ARISEC should be obviously a positive study. We haven't had the top line readout on that yet, but it was important, I think, for us to do that because these are 200 U.S. patients. And as Dr. Morgan said, you know, ARANOTE was an ex-US study.
What were some of the key efficacy findings from ARANOTE that led to this approval?
Importantly, this was a positive trial. So the primary endpoint, as Neil mentioned, was radiographic progression-free survival. And the combination of ADT and darolutamide was superior when compared to ADT and placebo, with a hazard ratio for radiographic progression-free survival of 0.54, and that was highly statistically significant. So that really meant that darolutamide was associated with a reduced risk of radiographic progression or death of about 46% in the trial. And I think also importantly, that was really consistent across all of the subgroups that were tested, including subgroups that were separated by disease volume, by PSA status, by geographic region, by race. So lots of different ways that you can break that down. The combination of ADT and darolutamide was also superior to ADT and placebo when assessing for time to metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer, so that next progression, the time to pain progression, and the time to PSA progression. And in each of those settings, there was really a wide separation of curves, highly statistically significant, and really favoring the combination of ADT and darolutamide. And I think also the final thing I'll say is that that was just most pronounced among patients who got to a PSA of less than 0.2, which happened far more often in the ADT darolutamide arm versus the ADT and placebo arm. Just really better, much better disease control overall, which is, I'm sure, what was considered by the FDA and was something that strongly contributed to the FDA approval.
We presented some of that Nader PSA data at a podium session at the AUA. And we also looked at what's some would refer to as the ultra low PSA. So not only getting below 0.2, but even getting below 0.02. And there was, you know, as one would probably expect now, dramatic benefit to the ADT Daro combination versus just ADT alone. And so it's a really, I like to use that ultra low PSA early on if I could get and tell patients, look, you're not just below 0.2, but you're below 0.02. So it's not only predictive of the response to the therapy, but it's prognostic in with all the other secondary endpoints that we looked at, albeit overall survival results. We didn't have enough events to comment on that.
What was the safety profile of darolutamide plus ADT, and is there any contraindications that you would like to note here?
There were no new safety signals that was not already seen in the well-described adverse event profile that we were aware of from two other very important phase three trials, the Aramis trial in non-metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer, and that's in the conventional imaging world, as well as in the ARASENS trial. I think what's always been very appealing for many of our colleagues is the fact that at least in preclinical models, darolutamide doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier, which there's a concern that other ARPIs can cross the blood-brain barrier and stimulate the chloride-gated gate of the GABA receptors. And that can cause, in some patients, seizure, and that can also cause potentially a thought process of other neurocognitive issues. So we did not see any new adverse events from what we'd already seen in these other two large phase three studies.
I would just add to that that when we asked patients how they were feeling, so not exactly the safety signal, but more the patient-reported quality of life data, it was really supported that this was a well-tolerated agent. And the data around this included the longer time to pain progression with the combination versus ADT alone, which we already talked about. But there was also an overall quality of life instrument that was used that looks into multiple different subscales. So things like social and family well-being, functional well-being, emotional well-being, physical well-being. And then within the prostate cancer specific symptoms, it looks into bowel and urinary symptoms. Within that, the overall quality of life was improved with the treatment with ADT and darolutamide versus ADT and placebo. But the specific domains that were most dramatically improved included things like social and family well-being, functional well-being, or the ability to kind of do the things that are important to an individual. And prostate cancer symptoms, particularly driven by urinary symptom control. So these are other things that I think are important to patients and also were improved with that ADT darolutamide combination versus ADT and placebo.
Overall, based on this approval, where does darolutamide now fit into the metastatic castration-sensitive treatment paradigm?
Yeah, I think it fits in very nicely. It's somewhat similar in regarding the use of abiraterone acetate prednisone, which is a different molecule, of course. It does require prednisone and has some different concerns regarding lab monitoring, liver function tests, potassium, glucose, some issues on fluid retention, more pills, non-fed state, et cetera. But what the similarity is that, you know, abiraterone acetate is approved as a triplet with docetaxel in high-risk patients and high-volume patients, and it's also approved as a doublet. Likewise, darolutamide is approved as a triplet, particularly the data seems very compelling for our high-volume, high-risk patients. And certainly is now also approved as a doublet without chemotherapy in high, low volume, high risk, low risk patients. So I think it's great. I think it's great in that it's always good to have additional options for our patients. Accessibility is always an important concern. So I think this is why we do these studies, so that we can enhance, optimize therapy for all the healthcare providers and for patients to make it a shared decision.
I think we're all really excited for future research that kind of digs in a little bit more and helps us as clinicians understand which combination therapy is going to be right for any individual patient. It's really a combination of the patient and also the cancer factors that usually help us make these decisions right now. And as Dr. Shore said, we're thinking about things like volume status or risk status, as well as de novo versus recurrent disease status, as we're kind of trying to figure out if a person should have docetaxel added into that combination. But I think increasingly we are hoping that we might have molecular testing that would just let us know, is docetaxel necessary? And with the approval of darolutamide as an ADT doublet with ADT and darolutamide, I think it becomes even more of a question. Do we need this chemotherapy? How do we make that decision? And there are molecular tests that are being investigated, but there are also clinical trials that are helping us figure this out. And we'll continue to advance along these lines until we really, I think, are able to better personalize this decision, which is super important, because if patients don't need to have docetaxel up front, and they can get away with an ADTA or pathway inhibitor combination alone, I think that many people would favor that combination, whereas, of course, others would favor the triplet. So we would love to have more information to make that decision. And with each of these new trials, with each of these new analyses, of course, we're always keeping patients front of mind to try to make sure that we answer the questions that are not only important to us in science, but also those that are important to our patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by Bayer. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.